Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, beginning at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I wonder what you wrote on your census last Sunday. One of the questions is, what does your job entail? Describe the main features of your job. And of course, for a church leader, I had to think about what I wrote. And I know lots of other church leaders were thinking similar, judging by comments on Facebook. I decided to write this. I wrote, "It's all about Jesus." Well, that's what I want to think about today. It's all about Jesus. And I want us to think about those events from that first Palm Sunday, to think about Jesus as King, and how three different people who would have been witnesses to Jesus coming down that Mount of Olives would have responded. So this is going to be a slightly different sermon, because it's going to be in three parts. Three responses from the perspective of three different people. You might find it helpful to have with you a piece of paper, preferably A4, preferably plain, but it doesn't matter too much, and a pen. And between each of these reflections from these three perspectives, we'll have a brief opportunity to respond. Be slightly more creative in our response today. But before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to meet together, albeit online. And I ask that as we meet together today, that you would lead us and guide us and help us to see Jesus, because it is all about Jesus. Amen. I love this time of year, spring. Up in the hills and the villages around Jerusalem, we get to escape the oppressive and seemingly never-ending heat of Jericho. The gentle breeze keeps us cool and the green of new life is pushing through around us. And of course, we have all the preparations for Passover as well. But there's a sense of expectancy in the air around us at this time. There's also talk this year of a man, Jesus, who I'd heard had done some remarkable things. I heard some people talk of him as a rabbi. I'd heard some call him Lord, some call him a troublemaker, and others calling him a prophet. But I hadn't made up my mind yet who he was. I'd seen him from a distance, nothing special to look at, but there was something about him. On that day, I was just sitting on a wall chatting to my neighbour when these two men came towards the village. They looked pretty puffed out, and I knew when I saw them that they had walked up the hill from Jericho. Oh my goodness, it's a long ascent, I can tell you. Anyway, as they entered the village, they went straight to my colt, this young donkey that no one had ridden. If I'm honest, I was getting it ready to break in. But they, looking a little wary, just went up to the colt, untied it and began walking off. Excuse me, I said, why are you untying my colt? They looked at me and said in unison, as if practiced, the Lord needs it. And they walked away, leading the donkey towards another group of people just rounding the corner. The Lord needs it, I repeated to myself. The Lord? Who is the Lord? I thought to myself. Then, in that moment, all that I had heard about Jesus began to slot into place. He was called Rabbi, a prophet, the Lord. Surely not a Lord, an important person like this, riding one of my donkeys. But then I saw him. The two men who had untied my colt spread their cloaks on the colt and helped Jesus to sit on top of this young, unridden donkey. Why a donkey, I thought. If he's so important, why is he not riding a prize horse? But then I thought, he's riding my colt. I felt so humbled. In that moment, I remembered the words of the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Those words, prophesied hundreds of years before this moment, were coming to fruition, it seemed. And I was part of it. Was this Lord Jesus the King talked about in Scripture? I was so excited that I ran after him and watched as people lined the steep track towards Jerusalem. They shouted words from the Psalms, proclaiming someone special. I mean, I too, like them, was caught up in the moment, waving branches, placing my cloak on the ground in front of him. Jesus came back to our villages later, actually, to Simon's house. And a woman poured really expensive perfume all over him, I heard. I also heard that Jesus had said something about her preparing his body for burial. And at that time, I was really confused. But the thing is, just yesterday, Jesus was killed. Not as a hero, not with crowds cheering him as a king I thought would, but as a criminal. And his body, rather than placed on an unridden donkey, was placed in an unused tomb. Who was this Jesus? If he was a king, he went about it in an unexpected way, except that, well, it wasn't really, because it was prophesied. What kind of a king? Well, Zechariah says a humble one. I'd say one who included me in the story. So we have an opportunity now to respond briefly to what we've been thinking about so far. And this is where you'll need that piece of paper if you want to join in. As you take this piece of paper, I'm going to lead you through a couple of different things to fold. But as you do so, I want to encourage you to remember the way that we are all enfolded into that story of Jesus as the owner of the colt began to realise. So we take the top left-hand corner and we fold it down so that the right-hand side and the top corner are aligned like that. Then we take this top corner and we fold that back so that you end up almost like a hat, like that. And then we're going to fold it in half, like so. And then finally fold it back, like so. So you end up with a shape that looks like this. But that's not the end. We were also reminded that sometimes Jesus isn't who we think he is. Maybe we make him out to be something that he's not. And so in a moment, I'm going to invite you to tear the cross and you'll go from this bottom side here all the way up, halfway through, and tear right away. And as you tear, I want to encourage you to ask God to show you the Jesus who is King. Not the Jesus that you have made him to be, that the Jesus that is Jesus as King. So we tear. And as we tear, we remove a few bits. And as we unfold, we find not a particularly beautiful one, but a cross. And we will use this cross later. Jesus was, well, he was special. It had been such a privilege to see him talk to crowds about God's kingdom, to heal people, to raise the dead even. I mean, he even sent us to do some of that ourselves. And we had stories to tell, I can say. I hadn't really been anyone special when Jesus called me. And that's what I liked. He seemed to be interested in me, in the ordinary people. But he had such authority and presence about him too. I met no one else like him. But this time it felt different. We'd been all the way down in Jericho and I, for one, was glad to be getting out of there and going up for Passover, even if it meant hiking up that long and tiring hill to the hill country of Jerusalem. Just before we started our ascent, Jesus told us another story. And this one was about a king who gave money to his servants and asked them to put the money to work until he returned. Some did well, some didn't, and they were rewarded accordingly. But Jesus also said something about those enemies of the king and what would happen to them. If I'm honest, Jesus told a lot of stories and sometimes it took me a while to understand what he was saying. But this time I knew it was something about him. Anyway, we were just coming up to the villages of Bethphage and Bethany when Jesus, he'd gone ahead quite determinedly, in fact, he called me and another disciple to him. And he gave us these instructions. He gave us instructions to go and untie a young donkey and then bring it to him. And that if anyone asked, we were simply to say, the Lord needs it. That happened actually, but we did as we were asked. It was a real joy to be able to put my cloak on the donkey for Jesus to sit on. It's a sign, you see, it's a sign of someone important, like rolling out a red carpet. We did more like that, actually, because the rest of the disciples put their cloaks on the ground in front of the colt for it to walk over. Such a sign of royalty, you see. Jesus, riding this donkey, was travelling towards Jerusalem, which we could see ahead of us, such a welcoming sight as a king. That's certainly what it felt like to me, anyway. The further we went down the hill, the more we got involved. We began to praise God from the Psalms. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, we shouted. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We'd seen so much in our time with Jesus. We'd seen miracles, signs, wonders. We were so glad to have been witnesses to such things. I sang my heart out. So the Pharisees told Jesus to tell us to be quiet, but Jesus was having none of it. To be honest, I'm not sure we would have done it even if he'd asked us to be quiet. And as he said, if we hadn't made the noise, well, the rocks would have done. It was that kind of atmosphere. It's amazing now how things change so quickly, though, isn't it? I was so happy to throw my cloak on that donkey. I would have put it on the ground. But when it came to it, I was reluctant to go through the tough stuff. I ran. I can't believe I did it now, but you have to understand that I was scared. Jesus was crucified with a sign next to him saying, King of the Jews. It was so mocking and cruel, yet I didn't stand up for him. I ran away. I'd been convinced he was a king and that he was ushering a new kingdom. I had hoped upon hopes for people like me, but I was afraid. And as I stand here now, I'm full of confusion and grief. I'm so sorry too. I didn't stand up for Jesus. I didn't stand up for him as king. I could stick with him when it was all exciting, but when trouble came, I fell away. Is it the end? I'd be so sure that Jesus was different. Maybe I've missed something. Maybe I need to think about some of the things he said. What kind of king? One I could relate to for a start. One who did incredible things. Maybe I missed something. All I do know is that I am so sorry for running away. So we're going to respond now using our crosses that we have torn. I want to encourage you as you look at that cross to be reminded that Jesus is the one that forgives us. Even when we, maybe like those disciples, run away because we find it okay to follow Jesus when there's others doing it and others joining in with the cheering. But it's harder when the going gets tough. We have a God who loves us and cares for us. So I want to encourage you, just in a moment of quiet, to write those things that you want to say sorry to God for. Place them on the cross, knowing that whatever it is, Jesus has brought about forgiveness for you. I heard the commotion before I saw it. There was so much shouting and singing. I mean, there were people everywhere, but hey, it felt like we needed some crowd control. I wanted to see what was going on, so I followed the crowds. I stood there with all these people making such a cacophony of sound. It was a visual spectacle too, though. I mean, there were arms waving, there were cloaks on the ground, then there was Jesus on a donkey. But then I heard people praising God in ways which, well, I didn't think were appropriate. I mean, I guess I could cope with them praising God. But it was the fact that they were using the royal psalms, words about a king coming in the name of the Lord. That I had problems with. That was just not right in my book. Who did he think he was? Who did they think he was? He really was the troublemaker we thought he was. So me and a few others shouted out to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I mean, that seemed a bit far-fetched to me, but this was Jesus we were talking about. And, you know, who knows what can happen when he's around. I've heard all sorts of stories about him. So I just had to let it go. But then Jesus stopped. He looked at Jerusalem, this most important place, my home, and he wept. I'll never forget the words he said too. I mean, he said this. He said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." What was hidden from our eyes? What was he going on about? He said a few more things, and then these words. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognise the time of God's coming to you. I'm still not sure what he meant, but it sounded like a threat. A threat to destroy something. And in my book, he was breaking laws. He was a troublemaker, all right. So I went and reported all I'd seen to my colleagues. We need to do something, and fast. I mean, he was stirring up people all over the place. I mean, later that day, in fact, he caused all sorts of trouble in the temple. We got into a nice setup there as well. But he destroyed it all. And then people began to listen to him all the more. So we tried to catch him out, to ask him all sorts of questions, but he dealt with everything we asked. And the only thing we could do was to find a way for one of his own to betray him. And we did. I watched him die on that cross. He did it with such dignity. And I'll never forget what happened when he died. I mean, the skies turned really dark and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. It did make me think that maybe there was more to this Jesus, but you keep that to yourself. I don't want others to know that's what I think. So what kind of king was Jesus? Well, I mean, if he was a king, he was a king like no other. That's for certain. So as we come to the final time to reflect and respond, I want to encourage you to hold that cross that you have made. Jesus came into Jerusalem hailed as a king. What kind of king? What kind of king do you say Jesus is? I believe Jesus is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And of course, we know that Jesus would go on to rise from the dead, answering all those questions asked by our witnesses. So for a moment, I want to encourage you to hold the cross you have opened out and written on, and simply to respond in prayer and thanksgiving for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, the King of all kings. Amen.